Sure. You know, Terrell was a guy that we held on to largely because of his potential. We viewed that spot as the 53rd roster spot, and there was a lot of debate over it. Terrell certainly has the ability to make the transition to receiver. We were hopeful that we were going to be able to have that time to do it, but that to me is viewed as a luxury, and just given where we were when we looked at our running back room, given our circumstances, and having always been a Robert Turbin fan, just admiring how he plays and the mentality that he takes to the field, that there was an opportunity we just felt we couldn't pass up. And we understand that he won't be available for upwards of a month, but that was something that we were willing to deal with. So a lot of this league is about timing. You look at a good example in just last night in Deion Lewis. Here's a guy that a year ago was less than a year removed from an injury, just physically could not compete, just couldn't run up to full speed, and took him a year out of the league. That's why for the guys that are here that know Deion are thrilled for him, knowing the kind of guy he is, that he's able to get back out there. Will Terrell Pryor be successful in the NFL, a wideout? There's a pretty good chance of that. But just given the timing for us, it just wasn't right.
Were you that concerned Turbin was going to become unavailable that quickly that you had to make that move yesterday?
Well, to me, the timing of it for us was that we knew that there were other teams interested. And that being where we were in the claiming order, that was the best way. I mean, we could have let him potentially clear and then try to recruit him and sign him or let him kind of on his own. But you're competing with 30 other teams essentially for that. And we think enough of him that wasn't something that we were willing to risk, that we got a chance to get him here. Let's get him here.
What does he do that you really like? You say he's a big fan.
He's downhill. When you watch him play, I mean, he is physical. That he play. You talk about playing with an attitude. That's the way he is. I'd gone against him previously as a coordinator, not often, being that he was in Seattle, but watching a lot of crossover tape, talking to people that know him. I know Wilbert thought very highly of him coming out of Utah State. But when you go down the list of attributes, what we're looking for in a running back, and then also just the bonus part of it is the person that we're bringing to the room, nothing but positive opinions on how he is in the locker room, in the meeting room, on the practice field. It was just a move that we felt was best for us.
In layman's terms, is it fair to say that your evaluation was that Turbin would be able to give you more this year as opposed to prior?
Correct.
Is that fair to say?
Very fair to say that.
Mike, at what point did you guys label Pryor as the 53rd guy? Does that happen Saturday night or Saturday when you guys make the 53?
I think that starts probably going in and heading into the last week of making the decision. Of you kind of form it in tiers. These are the guys that are in. These are the position minimums. And the guys that we're comfortable with, and then this is the next pool of guys to kind of fill those spots that are above the minimum. So we're at the minimum, essentially, in the offensive line. Now we're not at quarterback anymore, and that factored into as well that there looked for a time that we were going to add our third quarterback onto the practice squad, but here there was timing again. We had a chance to add a player that we had positive reports on, and a guy that we had done a lot of research on before, that we had an opportunity to add him to the roster, so that essentially, bumps another guy out. So it all gets factored in.
Will you add a third running back for Sunday, or will it just be Duke and Isaiah?
That's like I said yesterday. I'm not going to comment on any future transactions.
Could you say if you like Sean Drone enough where he could be a
sure.
strong candidate for that?
Absolutely.
Is 4 p.m. tomorrow the deadline for that move, or can you make it on Sunday, activating that?
It would be tomorrow.
And Mike, with Rayon's suspension, but Turbin had been hurt a while back, was he involved? Like, was that a scenario discussed before Ray started the suspension?
Yes.
So he would have given his go-ahead probably for a move like this?
Yeah, we when Ray was on the verge of leaving, that we just kind of spitballed a lot of possible scenarios that could happen, and that was one of them.
I just want, just on that, I hate to dwell. I mean, doesn't something make you curious if he'd have been healthy off camp to know what Pryor would have done?
But we deal in reality. He wasn't healthy all camp. So that's we have. Trust me, I have enough things on my plate dealing in things that actually happened. But the fact is that he wasn't, and that he was not prepared at this point to be a viable, productive member. Now, I'm not saying that he never will be. I'm very confident that he will be, knowing his work ethic, knowing his skill set. He will be. But that's, like I said, it's timing and it's circumstances.
Mike, could you touch on just the importance of starting the season off on a positive note? I know this doesn't pertain to you guys, but you know, it's been a decade since the Browns started.
Just like we knew last year, it had been 10 home openers in a row. Yeah. We knew that last year too, but we know it. And we also know that it doesn't affect us. It's 0-0, and we know that we're going down there and to play a very similar football team, and that we have to. You just look at last night. The team that makes, it's a cliche, but fewest mistakes wins the game. It was a, you know, a lot of penalties. You're looking at, you know, missed field goals and miscommunication. And you turn a guy loose, you're giving up touchdowns as opposed to field goal attempts. And it's a very fine line. That game, despite how the score looked early, that game very easily could have gone the other way. But it comes down to the little things.
You've been around this team a long time now, but do you have unknowns heading into the opener?
Fewer. There are some. I mean, I just think new offense. You know, how that's going, new faces on offense, especially defensively. I think there's fewer question marks because we have so many of the guys back from a year ago, and it's the same system. So I would say that that's where the majority of the questions would be. Josh McCown here with them. How are we going to be on game day? You can only take so much from practice, a little bit more from preseason, but it's not a game.
Do you feel any different heading into your second opener?
I just think more settled, more confident, just having. Okay, I've gone through this before. I've traveled, gone to an opener. I just think as a staff, and we've talked about it, that it's just a better feeling because we've gone through it already.
Two other quick things on Pryor. Is this purely a coach front office decision, or did any veteran players come to you and say, hey, this
no,
guy's not?
This is, I think I said before, but players don't make very good GMs. So it was purely front office coach.
When you say he was 53rd, that implies he probably would not have been active Sunday. Would he have been active for the game had he been?
You only get 46 up.
Did you ever have a headset problem in Foxborough?
Here are my comments on that. It's rare that I've gone through an NFL game that there was not a problem with the headset. That's at home. That's at our stadium. That was in New York. Miami notoriously is literally you're marking spots on the ground. Do not stand here. Because you learn each stadium, and there are issues, there are dead spots. The system that we're using, it's my understanding that it's going to be replaced. That's, to me, has been in the works. We've talked about it in the off season, so we're going to get through this season with what we have, and it's you know, there are problems with it. I mean, to me, the guy that does our headsets, name is Bob Myers, and God bless him, because that is the, outside of being my PR guy. That's probably the worst job in the national football. It's a thankless job because you can test it so much, but all of a sudden when the game starts and all of a sudden the TV network stuff is up and running and all the media stuff's going on, things are bound to pop up. So at New England, have there been stories of it happening there more frequently? I've heard them. I've been a part of it up there when things have gone down here and there, but I wouldn't say it was any more than any other place. If the Dolphins had built a dynasty somehow, would people then be accusing them of it? Probably. I think that there's a lot of merit to people talking about when somebody's that good for that long, that something has to be wrong. And I do know they have, you know, one of the greatest coaches in the history of the game, one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game. They're always very well prepared. It's rare that you kind of get by scheme-wise with stuff on them. Their teams are always very fundamentally sound. And that's why they win. But it's sometimes that jealousy of there's no way that they can be doing this year in and year out and be doing things the right way. So to answer your question, yes, but it's hasn't been any more there than other places.
How did you leave things with Terrell Pryor? Did you guys on the way out say, hey, you know, maybe we'd like to have you back at some point, maybe, you know, this year or down the road or anything?
I had a very positive conversation with Terrell. I'll leave it at that.
Last one. Lock room's open.
Because Johnny's probable, is that, can we assume that he's going to be the number two?
Yes.
You addressed his week, how it went for him. It was limited 2 days, that's it.
Well, I thought he had a good week. He stepped into some throws. I thought he tested it, and to me, he seemed to pass all the tests. So we're confident that he's good to go.